you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed for us. Thank you, Lord. Father, today is the day that in America we celebrate Father's Day. Father, we'd first like to say Happy Father's Day to you. The Father of our new nature, the Father of our spirit. Happy Father's Day, Lord. We love you, we honor you. We remember the first commandment with promise, to honor thy father and thy mother, that it might be well with you, that you may dwell long upon the earth. Father, we honor you as well as our earthly parents. My father, yes sir, what did I say? Oh, our carpenter is the father of my earthly body, but he is not the father of my spirit. God Almighty is the father of my new nature. Hallelujah. I honor them both. Hallelujah. Boy, you guys are hungry. 8:30 after a week of church. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Dave called again yesterday afternoon and said I had the service. I am submitted, although I don't totally understand all the time. For benefit of the tape, Dave's sitting on the front row, so put yourself in my... Pray for me right now. Pray. Pray for me right now. All right. Now, today is something very unusual. You're going to see me using a lot of notes, but this is not really notes. It's really scriptures. And because it takes me too long to find them, I've got them on paper, and then I've got a portion of a document I want to read to you. So, hold your hands up like this. Today's Bible drill day. Work your fingers. You ready? Get it loosened up. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today. And the reason for this, I want to show you something. The document I'm going to read near the end of this, and it's a portion from one of those face-to-face documents, which we now have at the website, by the way, garycarpenter.org. Scroll down to the bottom half of the homepage, and you'll see a link where you click and go to the face-to-face series. So I'm only going to read you a portion of this one. But now what's important to understand is God was teaching me these things in my prayer closet. This one was in 1998. At the time that I heard these things, it was way beyond. Let me put it this way. We hadn't been that far down the born-again trail yet. And he was telling me things that sounded, I knew it was right, but I was almost afraid to teach it because it was so, can I say, unchurchy. It was so unreligious, you know. It was so... I was really a little bit afraid to teach it. But, you know, then we continued, thank God, for the born-again trail. And he kept taking us down that born-again trail and began finding out who we are really in Christ and what God has really done for us. And now he's put all these scriptures together. I sat in about 10 minutes this morning listening to the Holy Ghost to write these scriptures. You know, I copied and pasted them, to put them in this sequence. So I want you to see the Word that I now, you know, that we now understand on the born-again trail. Then we're going to look at the Holy Spirit as he was trying to teach it to me several years before. And you watch how they correlate. Okay? So it's the Word and the Spirit agree. The Word and the Spirit agree. Y'all do understand, none of us, we're not trying to find out any new revelation. You know why not? There isn't any. Jesus Christ and the first apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, but they laid all of the original foundation stones. It's all there. Trouble is, in our generation, it's like, you know, we're like archaeologists praying in the Holy Ghost, digging down through 2,000 years of religion, trying to find those original foundation stones. I remember one of them, one of those, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a foundation stone that had been hidden from the body of Christ for generations. Anyway, I can't go too far on that. We got a lot to cover. You ready? Ready? That's what Cole says when he wants to play. You ready? Anyway, my grandson. John chapter 12, verse 24. This really picks up right from the messages that the Holy Spirit had me teach during the conference, the last two, about the husky. Y'all remember husky? And husk is the part of us that has to die. It's the flesh. It's the literal appetites of the body. You know, like just literal things. Like my body would like to eat coconut pie smothered in Krispy Kreme donuts every day. I can't let it do that. It's just appetite of the flesh, and it's never going to be saved, so I have to, until we get a new body. So until that new body comes, I have to control it, because it's not saved. And there's no hope of it being saved. So God just had to declare it dead. Don't let it do stuff. Okay? But it also includes the unrenewed portion of the soul. Any part of our mind, our intellect, and even our emotions that are not yet renewed to the mind of Christ, that's husky. The guy that still wants our life instead of yielding to his life, that's husky. That's the guy that has to die. And that's what Jesus is talking about, even with his own life here. In John 12:24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man..." Now notice, don't forget this part. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Well, let's think about the life of Christ as we see him going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is the seed of Abraham. He is the very human vessel that God has sent. His earthen vessel is from the earth. But the life that's on the inside of him was spawned by the Holy Ghost. God was his Father. He is the first man born since Adam that had life in his spirit from God. And we see what happens as we watch through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How, because he has the life of the Father on the inside of him. He said all the time, the Son of himself can do nothing. It's the Father in me. It's the Father in me. He does the works. So we see this cooperation between the life of the Father on the inside of Christ and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you know, because he didn't do any miracles himself until he was baptized with power in the Holy Ghost. Amen? So it's that life of the Father on the inside and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon that life that brings dominion on the earth over the works of the devil. He opens the eyes of the blind. He opens deaf ears. How about the maimed made whole? I like that one. I'm waiting for some of those. Hallelujah. So we see that, but as we see him, he's the only one, and maybe a few that he puts his mantle on. But he is the only seed. He is the only human like that. And he says, that's not the will of the Father, that there be just one. I am going to become that seed. I myself am going to suffer on the cross, be buried, pay the price for your sin, be raised again. All of your sins will be forgiven. And at that point, God's going to raise you from the dead, just like he raised me from the dead spiritually. From death, spiritual death, to spiritual life. Glory to God. You got that part so far? Took Dave, probably 2 volumes of the Born Again Trail to lay that out for us. Line upon line, you know, precept upon precept to get that. And the vast majority of the church doesn't get it yet. Most of them will run you off if you say Jesus died spiritually. But if he didn't, there's no hope for you. He sailed right into death. He died our death. Then he said, "Get on my ship. We're going out of here." And we sailed out into life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Again, I don't have time to preach. Today I'm here to teach. All right, now watch this. So Jesus, even though, and it was hard on him. That's not just in there for nothing in the Garden of Gethsemane for him to yield his body and his, and really his earthly life. You notice how he says, if you love your life in this world. Well, it was hard. It's not, he didn't, you know, it was, when it says he sweat great drops of blood, and Father, if there's any other way, the humanity of Jesus, the human part of him, doesn't like pain any more than you like pain. And worse than that, he didn't want to be separated from his Father. Amen. That was the main thing. But he said, Father, if there's no other way, not my will, but thine be done. Because what the Father wanted ultimately was not just one corn of wheat, not just one vessel with the life of God on the inside and the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon that life, but many vessels. If this corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it'll multiply. And you won't have just one like we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What did Jesus say? The works that I do shall you do also. and greater than these shall you do. The life of Christ was not supposed to end at the cross. It's multiplied at the resurrection. That's a good one. It is a good one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, now let's go over to Romans 12, verse 1. I've got to speed it up a little. Because really, all we're doing at this point, all I'm doing is summarizing the born-again trail up to this point. All right? Can you all tell I've done my homework? Romans 12, verse 1. Normally, we emphasize verse 2, but today we want to look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, you got to understand Romans 12, when he says therefore, he means based on everything I've said for 11 chapters. How he takes line upon line, precept upon precept, just like Dave does in the Born Again Trail, showing how we went, how Jesus did this tremendous thing for us to take us from death unto life. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, there says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And you find out it's through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the flesh. And all of those things, all of that, leading up to where he says, now, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, since he had all that mercy on us, you ought to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy is more than no makeup. In fact, no makeup has nothing to do with holy. Some of the meanest people I've ever met wore no makeup. No jewelry. Okay? Holy, if you really want to know, in the Old Testament, you know when it says Jericho is devoted? The real Hebrew word there is holy unto the Lord. He says everything in it must die because it all belongs to God. That's really what holiness is. All you are, all you have, all you ever will be is His. That is holiness. All right? That will manifest in your outer man too. All right? But when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's really talking about the seed being multiplied. Christ, he had complete control and dominion over his body. The question is, does he over yours? And I'm not talking necessarily so much about sin type things. I'm not really talking about that. I've seen people that would spit, that would chew and spit, that would obey God a lot better than a lot of Bible graduates. Yeah. It's true. Now, you shouldn't chew and spit. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's not the point either. But the point is, does he have that life on the inside of you? Can he direct it? Or are you directing your life? I'll give you an example. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at something you're all very familiar with. What had happened here, you know, Saul had been on the road to Damascus, and at that time he was breathing out slaughters against the church and persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He had authority and letters from Jerusalem to actually arrest Christians and bring them back for trial, and some of them were even put to death. That's why Paul, later on in his writings, he says, I am the least of all saints, for I persecuted the church unto death. Thank God. Thank God Saul died and Paul rose. Glory to God. That's all I got to say. But that's what just happened here. And we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. It said there was a certain disciple. Notice disciple. This is a believer. Someone born again. We're on the born again side of the cross here. Okay? This guy's born again. He's got the life of Christ on the inside of him. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now notice, that's important. In a vision. The Lord didn't materially appear to him. But in a vision, the Lord said, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Now, before we go any farther, this was one of the passages that helped illustrate one of the points that Dave brought out Right in the beginning, he says, like Christ in us. Does that mean we have a little Jesus running around on the inside of our spirit somewhere? You know, no. In the same way that Adam gave me that sin nature, and the nature I had was of him. When I get born again, that nature, that righteous, holy nature on the inside of me, I receive that from Jesus, and I am born of him. You got that? So notice right here, we got a born again Ananias talking with a separate individual in a vision, but it's still a separate individual, Jesus. And Jesus isn't shouting from inside of Ananias' belly. We got two individuals here. We got Jesus, the head of the church, and he's appearing to a believer. But that believer has the life of God on the inside of him, and that's important. Now watch this. Okay? He says, I'm here, Lord, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, now you think you can't get specific direction from the mind of Christ? Entrepreneurs, listen. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Paul's vision included the name of the man who was going to come and pray for him. You reckon that would do a little thing to bolster Paul's faith? All right. Anyway, the Lord's working both ends of this deal. And I got to read the whole verse again. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and boy, if you underline, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. Here you go, underline now. And putting his hands on him. In other words, he followed instructions. Okay? And said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee by the way, in the way, as thou camest, has sent me. Why? That thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, that's Paul's eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. Now the question arises, why does Jesus need Ananias? Boy, if you write or make notes or just remember, you've got to get this. Jesus has no hands on planet Earth but yours. He can't lay hands on the sick or the blind or the lame or the halt unless he can get us to do it. You got that? You say, well, he blinded Saul without anybody's help. Really? You can look at this later. Acts 26:19, when Paul is recounting this whole thing back to King Agrippa, he says plainly, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. The Holy Spirit, his language is visions and dreams. That he can do. Visions and dreams. That whole blinding thing was done by a vision. But when it comes to laying hands on somebody, Jesus, he has no body. And I mean literally a body. I mean a physical human frame to do that with. But ours. He can't send somebody to... He can't preach in Japan the gospel unless he can get somebody to go to Japan and preach it. He can't give into an offering unless he can find somebody who's willing to be his hand and give. You got that? Can you see this? All right. Notice, none of this was done by formula. Ananias didn't just choose any of this. Ananias, as I like to describe them, had a close encounter of the God kind. And that's exactly what you need. That's exactly what Gary needs all the time. I don't need them once every few years either. I need a daily close encounter of the God kind. That's called fellowship with the Holy Ghost. All right, now notice. Ananias, through this close encounter of the God kind, he received the present tense, right now, mind of the Lord. You could say instructions from Jesus through this vision. The Lord gives instructions to the believer. You see that pattern? Jesus, say this with me. Jesus is alive and well. He's the head of the church. He sent the Holy Ghost to give me His instructions. And what the Holy Spirit says, that's what I do. You're on your way. That's not likely to happen if you don't spend any time with the Holy Ghost. Anyway. The Lord gives instructions to the believer. And notice the believer is allowed to even ask further questions. If he's not sure, if he's not sure he understands. Basically, I love Ananias. I mean, the King James is so holy, you know. And it is. But what he's going, Jesus, are you aware this guy's killing believers? You want me to go over there? Have you been reading the news? Saul kills, he takes people back to be killed. Jesus, are you sure about this? And you notice Jesus doesn't even rebuke him for asking. It's okay to be honest with the Lord. It's okay to ask questions if you don't understand. You'll find in those face-to-face documents, you'll find where the Holy Spirit talks much about that. He says, what general sends his army to war with only a portion of the battle plan? What general does that? Says the problem is the art of waiting upon God has been lost to this generation. I think that's in this very one we're going to look at here in a little bit. Waiting upon God. You get God's instruction. So it was okay for Ananias to ask and get further answers until he knew for sure what to do. And notice that Jesus sent Ananias, a believer, to lay his hands on Saul. Why didn't the Lord lay hands on Saul himself? Because again, on planet Earth, Jesus has no hands but ours. We are His body. Now, He's got a body, but it's a glorified body. He's already gone on to the next dispensation. He's already there with His glorified body to operate here. You need a body from Adam until this is over, just to tell you the truth, and we can't get much into that. Hagin put it this way, trying to simplify it. He would say, you got to have a body from Adam until Adam's lease fully runs out. That's the truth. The type and shadow there is King David was anointed king, yet Saul, King Saul, who's a type of Adam, still had dominion until his lease ran out, until he was dead. And even though in the spirit, Jesus, Adam is already dead, and we're already anointed kings, have you noticed there's still a lot of lost Adams running around? That's why we still have a body. I can't get into it too much today, but that's why we have to have a body from Adam to operate in dominion here. Now, when this dispensation's over, thank God we won't need these fallen bodies anymore. Anyway. Hallelujah. All right. We're doing pretty good. Now go to Ephesians 3:20. Now let me ask you, does Ananias as a human, just as a human being, does he have power of his own, just as a human, to open the eyes of the blind? No, he doesn't. So what's going on here? How does this happen? All right. And the reason that it's so important is Ephesians 3:20, and this is what I was teaching on Thursday and Friday this week at the conference. How, for years I misunderstood this because I just didn't pay attention to the last part of the verse. But it says, now unto him, that's God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. See, none of us has a problem with that. We know God can do exceeding. Helena, you don't have any problem with that. He can do exceeding abundantly above all. We can't even think the things that he can do. We don't have any trouble with that, but it's this last part. According to the power that works where? According to the power that works in us. What's going on here? Again, did the human being Ananias in his humanity, does he have power to open the eyes of the blind? No. The Holy Spirit is anointing that life of Christ, that life that first was found in the Father, then was found in the Son. And when you believed on Him, that same life then was deposited in you, but it originated in the Father. And when you're operating according to the mind of Christ, what I mean by the direction you receive from the Holy Spirit, then the Father comes. I mean, the Holy Spirit comes. He anoints that life that proceeded from the Father in you the same way that He anointed that life in Christ. The Holy Spirit is anointing the life of Christ in Ananias that proceeded from the Father, and He's anointing him with dominion. Dominion over blindness. It is Christ in us and the Father in Him. Does that remind you of a verse in John 17? It's all right, we'll look at it here in a minute. Christ in us and the Father in Him that the Holy Spirit anoints with power and dominion to continue the work of Christ in the earth. But you got to tie the whole package together. I tell you right now, the Holy Ghost is not going to anoint you. I don't care if you are a believer. And if you do have the life of Christ on the inside of you, He does not anoint you to build your own empire. He does not anoint you to build your own ministry. Now, He'll use anybody. I never will forget the time that Helena, who grew up... not Helena. Cute girl, red hair, sings. What's her name? Elaine. I like Elaine. But right now, I can't think of names. I can see her, but I couldn't think of her name. When Elaine, who's been around this longer than I have. I grew up in a different denomination. I didn't grow up around signs and wonders at all. Trust me, I didn't at all. But she did. And she said, I don't understand this. How could these men go out with the anointing of God in empty wheelchairs and then after the service come back in and try and molest me? That's called the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's called God just using you because you're the one there. Okay? He loves the people. He's trying to get blessing and healing to them. That's not at all what we're talking about. You think Jesus sat around, He would walk into a meeting and on the inside He's praying, oh, I hope the gift of healing is operating in me today. No, He was the full-grown image of God, the full mature Son walking in the full inheritance, and He'd basically hold out a menu. He'd say, what is it You'd have me do for You? Because I have all of God's blessing as stewardship inside this vessel. And I am totally submitted to the will of the Father. Jesus wasn't building His own empire. He was building His Father's kingdom. Just good stuff. Get anything out of it? Timing is working out pretty good too. Hallelujah. You don't have to turn to this one because it's just one verse. But Philippians 1:21, look at it later. Paul went so far down this path. He was so yielded over to the mind of Christ and to the Lordship of Christ. He could say this without fear of lightning bolts. He says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Let's say that in a little more illustrative terms. The husky, you remember husky? The husk of Paul's own agenda for his life, his own... I remember Oral Roberts in the early days when he first got saved. Before he got saved, he had aspirations to politics. He always wanted to be the governor of Oklahoma. Did y'all notice that's not exactly how his life turned out? Because when he got born again, God, Jesus, the head of the church, had a different plan for Oral Roberts. And Husky had to die. That part that wanted his own political life, his own goals, that all had to dissolve so that life of Christ could be manifest in Oral's body. I thank God for Oral Roberts. I remember those old black and white TV programs. I know right where I was on Charles Page Boulevard. And they'd air them in the afternoons, thank God, after we got home from church. And Mom and Dad'd be busy doing stuff, and I'd sneak in there in our little black and white TV, and I'd watch Oral get people out of wheelchairs. And even though they told me at church that day that miracles had passed away, I sat there and I watched a man operate in the power of God, and there was something in me that said, it's real. It's real. Even then, it was many, many years later before any fruit. But I thank God for the seed of hope that was planted in me by Oral Roberts way back there as a youngster. I was in the sixth grade. I remember going to Charles Page School over there. Oh, no. Living on Charles Page Boulevard. I don't even remember the name of the school. But anyway, I remember I was in the sixth grade. Fat little chubby kid. Always a new kid in town. Learned how to fight. new fat chubby kid. Just whoopee. But I digress. You don't have to turn to this one either because you know it so well. Paul, see, that's really our goal. For me to live. That's what Romans 12 verse 1 is talking about. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's alive, but it's on the altar all the time. It's dead to your agenda. Dead to fleshly goals, dead to building your kingdom, but it's there for a habitation of the Lord. Paul said he went so far for me to... In other words, okay, I was going to say it this way. That's why he brought me back. I said, let's say it a little different way for your brain's sake. When Paul says, for me to live is Christ, he's saying this. If somehow the Lord Jesus could come back to earth today and I could step out of my body, he could step into my body, and you watch what he does, you wouldn't see any difference today with what you'll see me doing. That's what it means to say, for me to live is Christ. I don't know anybody yet that's there. Even Paul himself says, I'm still pressing. Even though he was way down the road from me, he says, even he himself, I don't count myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, I'm still pressing towards that mark. So are we. Amen. I'm pacing myself because he's got something he wants to do here. Christ, going all the way back now, don't turn back to it, but John 12. Why did Jesus want to... He says, I'm going to become a seed and die. Why? So there won't just be one. God doesn't want just one human vessel with the life of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost on it. He wants a crop. He wants a harvest. He wants millions of believers with the life of God on the inside of them, so the Holy Ghost that will yield over to the mind of Christ, so the Holy Ghost can anoint those people with dominion. We're supposed to getting people out of wheelchairs all over planet Earth. Amen. And that day is soon upon us. All right, Christ is multiplied through this massive body of believers, just like he prophesied in John 12. Now notice, it is still the Father doing the works. Through the life of Christ in us, as we yield our lives, including our bodies, including our time, to the present tense, right now, leadership of the living Jesus, by the communication we receive from the Holy Spirit. Now go to John 17. I want you to, these are closed. Go to John 17, and then also pinch together in your Bible, John 12. They're close, and it's a little pinch. John 17 and John 12. Hallelujah. And actually, I'm going to remind you of John 12 first. Look at John 12, 26 again. Remember I told you we'd come back to that it's important? If any man serve me, let him follow me. Now notice, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Say that out loud. Where Jesus is, there shall also his servant be. And you'll see the significance here in a minute. And he says, if any man serves me, him will my Father honor. By the way, the little apartment that Jin Ho and Sune put me up in over in Korea, the first hanging over the bed is that verse. First thing I saw in English, thank God, not Korean. When I saw it there, I thought, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I couldn't help. I mean, I'm there in Korea about to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, how did this start? Who would have ever dreamed back in 1992 when I just made that simple little decision driving those trucks? I'm just going to yield my voice, yield my time, turn off the radio, turn off the CB. Lord, if you find me in the cab of this truck, I will be praying. Had no earthly idea what I was praying, just letting the Holy Spirit pray the plan of God for my life. Who would have ever dreamed that that yielding, that little, I like to call it loaves and fishes of obedience, that a few years later, be preaching the gospel on the other side of the world. He who serves me, how does he say it exactly? If any man serve me, that they had that right over the bed, him will my Father honor. Boy, well, I felt so privileged. I felt so honored to be over there to labor in the harvest fields. Glory to God anyway. Hallelujah. John 17 now. You got them pinched together? John 17, look at verse 22. And this is another one down the born-again trail. If Dave hadn't pioneered these things and down the born-again trail, I don't know that we ever would have gotten it. Then I'm going to read. You're seeing this. Then I'm going to read to you some things. How the Holy Spirit was teaching me these things at the beginning of the born-again trail. But I couldn't put it together. It scared me almost. But now, I want you to see how the Word and the Spirit agree. Now watch this. John 17, verse 22. And the glory, this is Jesus talking, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. You got that? Christ in us, and the Father in him, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. How did Jesus let the world know that the Father had sent him? He said, if you won't believe what I say, believe me for the work's sake. And if I do not the works of my Father, don't listen to what I say. That glory I have given my church, that the world may know. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Christ in us, the Father in him. Now notice this. Notice the similarity between this statement and the one in John 12:26. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Does that sound familiar? Let me read it from John 12:26. You don't have to turn back. You can paint, you can if you want. In John 12:26, he says, Father, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. But in John 17:24, he says, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now, he is talking about the positional truth. That room that the elder son would have in the house of the Father. Let's say it that way. The right of the firstborn. He has made a place for us in the Father's house. That's what he really meant. But you have a right to live in the house now, not out in the field like a servant. I've made you, through the sacrifice, the Father has made you his son. His heir. You have a room. He is talking about that. But he is also talking about where I am. What I want to do in the earth. That's where my real servants will be. Where was Ananias? He was where his master sent him. Where I am, there will my servant be. And he that serves me, my Father, will honor. And in that case, he was honored by when he laid his hands on the blind saw. You see how that's all coming together? All right. The servant of Christ will be where the master takes him, doing what the master has told him to do. And the servant is the body. The servant is the literal body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will anoint the life of Christ, which is really the life of the Father, in that believer with dominion. This is the glory Jesus has given to His body. Does all that make sense to you? You see all that from the Word? You see how it interlocks like lacing your fingers together? Now I'm going to read you portions, and I'm holding this up so you can see it. This is a 5-page document typewritten. This is at the website now, and it's called Waiting Upon God. It's one of those face-to-face communications that I received back in 1998. And you see the yellow parts? I'll come over there where you all can see it. Can you see the part highlighted? I'm only going to read you the highlighted parts today. There's a lot more. Okay? But this is the part that's really, really important to this lesson. Now, I may read a little more if he lets me. Can you see this? So what I'm saying is take advantage of the rest of it at the website. Okay? Because I can only do a certain portion today. How did this come? Gary, how did you get these things? By listening to Dave's 2-tape series called Distinguishing God's Voice. And then hundreds of hours doing that, putting it in practice. Hundreds of hours. Everyone say hundreds.
Hundreds.
Of hours.
Of hours.
Of failure. And frustration. And the devil telling you it ain't working. Don't quit. It will work too. This is God's plan for leading His church. All right. I'm just going to read these highlighted portions. Maybe a little bit more if we have time. Is the simplicity of the anointing? This is the Holy Spirit talking to Gary. If you don't believe it, that's okay. We won't argue over it, but I believe it is. Is the simplicity of the anointing beginning to dawn upon your understanding? Are you beginning to understand now how accurately He spoke when He said, all things are possible to those that believe? How could anything be impossible when I, that's the Holy Spirit, who brought into manifestation all things by the power resident within myself, and within you, and with you to restore all things which have been perverted to conform to the will of your Father which is in heaven. Did you get that? It's kind of long. He said, how could anything be impossible when I'm with you? And I'm with you for the express purpose of anything that's been perverted away from the Father's will. My assignment is to restore it back to the Father's will. That's what he's saying there. He said, I ask again, is the simplicity of the anointing beginning to dawn on your understanding? Do you see now that in the same way that I anointed the Spirit within Jesus with dominion, in that same way that I anointed that life that He had within Himself with dominion, in that same way, I anoint His life in you with dominion? This is what I meant when I spoke to you last year and said, allow me to anoint your spirit with dominion. Your reborn human spirit is of Christ. Remember, this is in 1998. We just starting down the born again trail. We ain't very far down there. His life has been imparted to you in that spirit. And as I anointed the spirit within him with dominion, so I anoint with dominion the spirit that's within you. The ways of man and the ways of the Spirit, capital Holy Spirit, are two very distinct and separate paths. The former, the ways of man, is the path of religion, the way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. The latter is the life of Christ imparted to men's spirits, and the anointing of dominion which the Father gives by me to restore all things to the will of the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two paths never meet. These two paths do not mingle. These paths are separate and distinct. They cannot be mixed. They cannot be compromised. They cannot be blended. It is one or the other. Of all the things in the universe, many things can be compromised, but this truth cannot. It is religion or life. Choose this day. Choose life, says the Spirit of grace. The ways of man produce works of the flesh in the name of God. Did you hear that? Do y'all understand that I am totally aware I'm not smart enough to write a sentence like that? Let me read that again. the ways of man produce works of the flesh in the name of God. And the works of the flesh produce death. The life of Christ in mortal flesh, anointed with dominion by the Spirit of the living God, brings the life of the Father into every situation. These two paths never cross, and they never mingle. They are separate and distinct. Jesus is Lord of all. He is the head of the church. His mind is the will of the Father. And I anoint His life. I anoint His life in believers who will yield to His mind as I bring the counsel of His mind from the throne unto them. How did Ananias get it? A vision birthed by the Holy Ghost. Those who will bow the knee and yield up their life unto Him, where my servant is, those are the ones whom I anoint. And I anoint His life in them with dominion. Now, you're not going to like this part, but you're strong, aren't you? Many offer the life of Christ within them as a sacrifice on the altar of their own will. And the Father desires just the opposite, that they offer their own will as a sacrifice on the altar of His life. For those who will yield their will and love not their lives unto death, but seek to know the Lamb, to love the Lamb, and to serve the Lamb, for those all things are possible. And there are no limits to the dominion I will bring to their spirit, says the Spirit of grace. It is a simple question, really. Is the life of Christ that has been imparted to man's spirit to be led by the carnal mind of man? Or is the life of Christ imparted to man's spirit to be led by Christ Himself? I have come, says the Holy Spirit, to bring you His mind. And as your will bows the knee to His mind, I bring direction and leadership according to the will of the Father. On that path, there is anointing. On that path, there is life. On that path, there are no limits. On that path, there are no boundaries. And on that path, all things are possible. Do you have any idea how much this scared me back in 1998? Hardly. I was going, I hope this is God. I hope this is God. Then as we go down years down the born-again trail and the understandings, and I see it just dovetail. I see it from the Word. See, now I can preach it from the Word. Now I can preach it from the Word. I can dovetails. The more I know, the more it validates this instead of the other way, you know. Glory to God. Yeah, it is this one. He says, the art of waiting on God has been lost to this generation. And he's talking to me. One of the paths where you are to notch the trees, this is an instruction to Gary, is to lead men once again back to the understanding of how to truly wait upon God. It's part of my calling. Without knowing how to wait upon God, the life of Christ within every believer becomes the servant of the carnal mind within each believer. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Without knowing how to wait on God, if you don't learn how to do that, then the life of Christ within you becomes the servant of your own mind. That's right there is that whole teaching, servants upon horses, right there. Anyway, that's not the Father's will, and that's not the Father's plan. To wait upon God is to spend time in my presence, that's the Holy Spirit, as I bring you His, that's Jesus' mind. Your responsibility is to submit your will to His mind as I unfold the will of the Father unto you. As you yield your life unto that life of Christ and His mind revealed in you, you then step onto the path of dominion. Glory to God. This is the path of anointing, and this is the path of great blessing, says the Spirit of grace. To wait upon the Lord is to sit in my presence and hear the mind of Christ until you have received His counsel in completeness. Remember, Ananias could ask questions? At that point, you yield your will unto His mind, and you go where I say go. You say what I tell you to say. You do what I say do. You act as I say act. And as you conform to the mind of Him who called you, Holy Spirit talking, He says, then I perform all the Father's good pleasure as you walk in the steps of the mind of Christ. We're only giving you the highlighted parts. There's 20 of these lessons at the website. Are there more? When is volume 2 coming out? No. You missed the whole point. These are there as an example. You're supposed to write volume 2. You're supposed to get your own instructions. I put a lot there. I even left in some stuff that's pretty embarrassing. I tried to be very transparent so you can see how He'll correct me. There's a few things I didn't leave in there. You don't need to know. You don't need to know what size shoes I wear or something. You know what I'm saying? But I left enough in there where you can see His correction in my own life. Trying to straighten me out. Wait till you read the scourging post. That'll mess with you. Anyway. Okay. I'm still reading from this document. I said 5 pages. It's 4. From the Father's perspective, He sees the life of Christ within believers being directed by the will of man. He's talking about the way it is now in the body for the most part. By the mind of man and not by the mind of Jesus Christ. You understand what He's saying? We have time for this. A good example of that, you can read it later over in Acts 16, I believe it is. It's when Paul and Silas, they had finished their assignment and they didn't know what to do next, and they were thinking about going into Asia, and then they were thinking about going into Bithynia. Well, you know, it's natural to think, what do you want us to do next, Lord? But as they would pray about it, the Holy Spirit said no to both of those. Now see, in my denominational upbringing, I would have said, well, wait a minute, we have scripture for that. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't Bithynia in the world? Isn't Asia in the world? We can do this. And God will anoint that all that He can. That is a way to walk, and that's what He's saying. That's the way most of the church is operating right now. But if you read that passage, they thought about going to Bithynia. They thought about going to Asia. But then finally, the Holy Spirit came again in a vision, in a dream. The language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams for the most part. Paul saw a vision of a man in Macedonia, a night vision, saying, come over and help us. And they got direction from the mind of Christ. Later on, Paul did go to Asia. Ephesus is in Asia. That's what they were talking about then. And later on, but the timing of the Lord, there is a Jesus again is alive and well. And He's trying to get us to that same testimony that Paul had. For us to live is Christ. I'm doing what He wants me doing. I'm going where He says go. Everything about my life is being directed by Him. If He stepped into my body and used it today, you wouldn't see any difference. I don't know anybody that's totally there. How many of you want to press towards that mark? Husky must die. Hallelujah. Okay, we're coming near the end. Boy, you timed this out pretty good, Daisy. Surprised me. Because I started 5 minutes late. See. This was never His will. This was never His plan for us to be walking by the mind of man. What causes? Now, the Holy Spirit asking me. Here, from the Father's point of view, He's looking down. And even though we have all these believers, we have the life of Christ, He says, the Father's looking and He sees that life of Christ being directed by the mind of man. Then He asked me a question. He says, what causes such an aberration as that? Then He answers His own question. Not knowing the Comforter. Not knowing the Comforter who has come to be the guide, who has come to bring the counsel and to bring the mind of Christ to believers. Don't know how to discern His voice. Don't know Him. Don't know how to hear Him. It's a 2-tape series, Distinguishing God's Voice. I highly recommend it. Last paragraph. And he's talking to me now, but he's also talking to you. The Father is pleased. Now, yes, sir. For teaching's sake, for teaching's sake, that's the only reason I'm even sharing this with you. During this season is when I had the ugly building. And Sue can tell you about the... I'll just say it this way, too much to do in 1 hour. But listen, long hours over there. Preparing for a conference, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m. When I was learning to distinguish God's voice, many times, 12-hour shifts, many times. Pray in tongues, listen. Pray in tongues, listen. Pray in tongues, listen. Long time. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to be transparent because I want you to be able to do this. You may not be as messed up as me. It may not take you hardly any time. But I'm telling you, it's worth the price. It's worth the price. First time I laid down in that bed, South Korea. Can't tell you the pleasure that I felt from my Father. Can't tell you. What I was about to do was not go. I got a whole week to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got to teach out of Dave's book. I'm the first man on the Korean continent to get to preach out of it. Or the Korean peninsula. How do you know that? Because it rolled off the press 2 days before I got there. He that serves Jesus. Jesus says, he that serves me, him will my Father honor. I'll count that as an honor. Thank you very much. Anyway, the Father is pleased that you will humble yourself to sit and hear the voice of his Spirit as I bring unto you the mind of Christ for your life. Get this. It is better to do only one thing each day according to his mind than 1,000 things each day according to your own. Learn to wait upon your God. The Holy Spirit says, I will not fail you. I will not leave you in the dark. I will bring you the light of his counsel. And you shall walk as a man who walks in the light of day, where there is no occasion of stumbling, says the Spirit of grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Waiting, learning to wait upon God. That's probably the title, Derek. Learning to wait upon God. Now that's a little... He was real light with us, wasn't he? Husky must die. Do you know this is the same lesson? It's the same lesson, it's just more meaty. But it's still the same thing. You still got to take that old husk into the closet. Self-agenda, self-promotion, self-leadership, glory of man, approval of others, fame and fortune, all has to die so that we can have that same testimony as Paul. For me to live is Christ. Amen? If you got anything out of that, why don't you give God a hand? Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And since we still have visitors here today, and I know your eyes need to be blessed again, just look at how the Lord has blessed me. Look at this. Glory to God. This is my wife, Sue. Next to Jesus, he is the best gift my Father has ever given me. Tell people you're with me.
Good preaching, Dave.
Thank you. We'll see you at about 10:05. About 10:05.